This show is brought to you by Lewis Peters State Farm, agency representing the number one auto and home insurer in the United States for more than 60 years combined experience in the insurance industry. Local agents that understand South Florida's unique market, you have access to them 24/7, walk-in, call-in, click-in through lewispeters.com. You can find them online on social media at SF Agent Peters, or you can call at 305-275-5585. Remember, lewispeters.com. This show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick 2, 3, or 4 players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick 2 or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and this is an emergency podcast of the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Chris Kaufman is here, as promised. Simon Clancy is not here because, I don't know, I think he's searching for reinforcements for our Twitter war of the past day. But this is an emergency podcast, and we're here to talk about the development of Emmanuel Ogba. He's been great off the edge, Chris. And, oh, no, that's not what we're talking about, right? Did they announce something?
I think so, but you know what? Twitter and our news moves so quickly, I've already forgotten why we're having an emergency podcast.
Yeah, I think it's about...
Wasn't that like 5 weeks ago? I don't know. Yes. Feels like it.
Well, news was...
Earlier today, I'll go ahead, I'll spoil it.
Okay.
Earlier today, it came out, and actually, you know, the right away, like, people were coming at me on Twitter, like, you know, ooh, Simon Clancy find out about this. I was like, oh, so the podcast last night that I missed must have been lit. it's like, it's people, though, what you have to understand is Simon's the one that actually broke this to me. Like, he said to me, the Dolphins are starting Tua Tagovailoa. He's now the starter. And the first words I told him were, shut the F up. I was just like, quit pissing on my leg and tell me it's raining. That's not true. I didn't believe him. And then I looked on and, you know, Adam Schefter confirmed it. Cameron Wolf of ESPN confirmed it. You know, so tons of people were all over this. I was like, wow, I can't believe that's true. I can't believe that's happening. I mean, we've said, and I've said many, 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 many times, whatever the over or under is, take the under.
Yes.
You know, on when you see him play.
And by the way, that's recorded, guys. Like, you could go into our archives and
it's recorded like 50 times. I mean,
yes. We have Chris saying on record, week 4 or 5. Okay.
Yeah. I was thinking, I mean, we were both thinking more like 5. Mm-hmm. You know, but although
I was convinced that if we had a preseason, that it was going to be apparent by the end of preseason, hey, this is the guy, you know?
Well, right. If we had a preseason, but we didn't, clearly. And that factored into our thinking, I think. But I mean, listen, we've heard these people talking about it, right? We've heard, and first it was like, we're going to draft him, but we're not going to play him in 2020. Right. That was the thing, like at the draft time. Okay. He's going to sit in a box for the whole year because of this injury and, you know, everything. Keep him hermetically sealed and out of trouble. So, and then it was like, well, you know, maybe the last game or something like that, he gets in, you know, if it's a meaningless game or something like that. And all the while I'm like, take the under. And it's like, okay, well, maybe he'll get in December. Like at the beginning of December, he'll play through the month of December. And I'm like, take the under. And then some people are like, well, maybe even November a little bit. Bottom line is Brian Flores is who he is. He plays young guys. That's what he does. He gets young guys out in the field because he wants it to pay dividends later. That's what he's doing with. That's what he was doing with Noah Igbinoghene, replacing Byron Jones and putting him on an island all those first couple of weeks. That's what he was doing with Brandon Jones, getting him out there. And, you know, it didn't look pretty at times. And he's already this game. I mean, you might have talked about it with Simon on the podcast, the Jets game. I mean, he made some plays. Brandon Jones did.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is what he does. He gets the young guys out there and he's like, I want to get the young guys out there so that it pays dividends later. And so that's one of the reasons I kept being like, you know, take the under on this. And it's unfortunate that it had to happen, even though Ryan Fitzpatrick had really won three out of the last four. But you know, hey, that's them's the breaks, man. He always knew he was a placeholder.
Yeah. So. It's not show friends. It's show business.
Yeah. Okay? Right.
And as Joe Shad, you know, our one of our allies in this Twitter, this very sad Twitter
fistfight. Oh, we'll get to that later too.
Yeah, that we had today. You know, it really was. When you were talking about
it was a shit fight, and unfortunate. You know, I always hate getting drawn into those. But
yeah, you guys. I was telling you before the podcast that you were Pakistan and India. You and Jeff Schwartz,
yeah,
off to the side while we're duking it out over here.
You know. And I thing is, I respect Jeff Schwartz immensely. But he's trying to play this and play a game that I'm not playing, you know, in terms of like, oh, you think you're going to teach me all O-line play or stuff like that. That's not what I'm doing at all. And, you know, and actually what I tried to do is just come in and be like, you know, hey man, I'm sorry if things looked a little hot. You know, I'm part of 3 yards per carry. I'm sorry if things looked a little hot there with our guys and some of your people. But you know, Jeff Schwartz did say something like he's like, hey, if an offensive line is supposed to be, you know, not terrible, there's usually some metric that shows it. Right. There's usually some incredible statistic or something like that that shows it. And then he goes on a site and is like, PFF ranks them here. And, you know, Football Outsiders ranks them here and stuff like that. And so I was like, OK, well, I get that. And at the same time, maybe you didn't know this, but the Dolphins offensive line ranks number one in the NFL in sacks allowed, you know. Per snap. Mm-hmm. I mean, per pass snap. And I certainly don't think Jeff Schwartz knew that. And I certainly don't think Dan Orlovsky knew it or Mina Kimes knew that. So it does kind of remind me of who was it, Colin Coward when he said that the Miami Heat can't shoot?
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. Let's be fair. Not. I'm not saying the Dolphins offensive line is like great or anything like that. And that's kind of the point. The point is these people keep trying to like exaggerate what we're saying, you know, to play these games. They're going to play these games. They're dissembling, right? They're trying to, oh, you know, teach me, you know, let me learn from you. Like, and like, they're trying, what they're really doing is dissembling. They're like, you know, they're trying to, they got other motives and they're just like, you know, tweeting for this or that, but they say things like, you know, oh, you think they're so great. And I'm like, well, I'm not saying they're great. I'm not saying they're good. Even personally, I'm not saying they're good. Even, you know, I think probably about average and certainly not, don't deserve to be singled out and said, you know, they're the worst offensive line or one of the worst offensive lines in the league and they shouldn't put Tua in because he's going to get murdered behind that offensive line.
Exactly what they said. And I know that
they tried to, and that's where you took issue.
And that's where all of this started from. But we're going to get into that in a little bit. So let's just wrap up this Tua starting business here quickly. What do you think that they saw? Because I'll give you my opinion first. My opinion is that they really like this team. I think they like this team. They feel as if this bye week is going to get the team a little bit healthier. And they see a chance to stack some wins.
Yep.
And they want to make a run at a playoff spot. And after watching Buffalo the last 2 weeks, and I was just on a Buffalo podcast, and they just, you know, they flat out told me, look, we're looking at you guys with our side eye, and we're saying, are these guys going to lap us? Are these guys going to pass us? They're thinking about it. So if they're thinking,
listen, Buffalo fans have a mindset. Buffalo fans have a mindset, right?
Yeah, that,
it's,
that
a it's not the mindset that you, yeah, it's not the mindset that you would think with like all these fans. It's not like Lakers fans, like we're better than everybody.
Yes.
It's a different mindset, but it's like somebody's always going to beat us. Like somebody's always come and steal it from us. Somebody's always going to, you know, we're always going to screw it up in the end. Like that's a Buffalo fan. That's so all the Buffalo fans that I've ever met. It's really, you know, I think it's fun, but
so they're thinking, you know what? Okay, maybe we could make a run at this division title in a home game. And so, and I know people are going to say, who cares if you can't win a Super Bowl? What good is this? Are you going to tell me that you don't want to get the youngest team in the NFL some playoff experience and playing some games that matter in December? All of that matters.
Absolutely. And I want wins. I, you know,
and I think that they look at,
I reject that whole championship or nothing.
Yes. And I think that they look at that 27 points per game number and it might feel good right now, but they're thinking, you know, if we average 29 points per game, we probably win two more games. So maybe they think that Ryan Fitzpatrick is leaving some plays on the field that Tua Tagovailoa is going to pick up. What do you think they saw, so, Chris?
Why Tua? Why now? You know, it's it fits right into what I've been saying about how Brian Flores likes to get the young players in so that it pays dividends later. I think he has to be looking at, we've been pretty good with Ryan Fitzpatrick at the helm, and I think that he deserves his credit there. He's been handling the pressure. You know, speaking of this shit fight. He's been handling the pressure really well. There, he's probably the reason why they're number one in the NFL in sacks allowed and an offensive lineman sacks allowed, right? You know, he's probably a very big part of that reason because he handles pressure pretty well. He gets rid of the football quickly. You know, there's a lot of good things from him, but there's also a lot of limitations that we saw. And this is what I'd be concerned about because I'm looking at the Dolphins and I'm like, okay, they beat the hell out of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They beat the Jets, right? I mean, 24-0, that's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. And then they beat a San Francisco team who honestly, you know, bunch of injuries on the defense and
Jimmy Garoppolo. But they were going to get healthy against us, right?
Well, they were understaffed on defense and on the offense, let's be honest, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo came back. It looked like he came back a little too early. He was even pulled at halftime. I mean, it was, you know, and then we did our work against CJ Beathard and that's just not fair. Yeah. So, I think honestly, we've shown that we can beat the bad teams. We've shown we can beat the bad teams playing bad football. But then we played the New England Patriots and we lost. We played the Buffalo Bills and we lost. And we played the Seattle Seahawks and we lost. So the profile that was building of this team was one of a team that is, you know, A, we're good front runners. We get out to a lead and our defense is good at holding it, right?
Yeah.
Which is an accomplishment. You know, not every team does it. In fact, it's more common than not that teams can't do that in the NFL because you watch every week, these halftime leads disappear and these games get close.
It happens to everybody. I was in my backyard this Sunday. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching the game and I look at the Ravens and I'm like, okay, that team is absolutely terrifying. Okay.
Yeah.
We would have no chance whatsoever if we stepped onto the field against
the
Ravens. Then they give up four touchdowns inside of a quarter and a half.
Exactly. And everybody's like, oh, it's just so easy. Once you've got a lead, you know, you pin your ears back. You're rushing the quarterback and stuff like that. It's like, no, it's not that easy. If the Dolphins have a pass rush that consistently shows that they can get after the passer and prevent that happening, which has happened in three games now, that's something. Like, put that on the board. You got to mark that up on the board. That's not nothing. All right. So anyway, the profile of this team is good front runners. good against bad teams, haven't won against good teams yet. Well, how's that going to work for this team in December? Have you seen the December schedule? I know you've seen the December schedule. It's, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Hell. It's brutal.
It's hell. And that's exactly when we're going to be trying to get into the playoffs. And so we're trying to get into the playoffs in December against playoff caliber teams first off. So it's like the playoffs start early for Miami, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, do you want a team that is just good at beating the bad teams, or do you want a team that's good? And I think that's kind of the question that it boils down to. Because, you know, if you stick with Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's been doing well, but he's also showed some limitations. I think, you know, at times people question whether his arm is a little bit out, you know, and he's not. Anyway, he's a little old. And do you want to be good at beating the bad teams, or do you want to be good also at beating the good teams? And the only hope that Miami has at 3-3 right now, the only hope that they have, I think, is getting to a lot of experience right now at a point in the schedule where you can kind of afford it, and then hoping he really trains on for that December hell run and then plays like the number 5 overall pick you thought you were getting. And that's the hope. That's where you got it. Do you want this fucking thing, or do you not? You know, that's the question. Do you want to settle? Do you want to settle for pretty good, or do you want to try for something better?
Yeah.
And that's it. That's, I think that's the, you know, I think he's physically ready now, and I think he's mentally ready now. And that those are part of it. So, but otherwise I think this is get him this experience right now, get him up to speed, and then hope he's everything we wanted in that December, because we're going to need it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I know some people were saying, okay, you know, but, you know, is he completely healthy? Well, you just saw him. He came into the game against the Jets. And like I've been saying all day today on Twitter, the doctor comes out and says, okay, he's 100% healthy. He is never going to come and say he's 110% healthy. Like, he's beyond healthy. Now he's impervious, okay? He's impervious to pain. Like, he can't get hurt now. That doesn't happen. So he's either cleared or he's not. And people were also saying, oh, but why against Aaron Donald? Well, first of all, Aaron Donald is the best, and he's the best player in the NFL, in my opinion.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I don't know. Do you agree?
But you know what? But you know what? Aaron Donald, he's good. Listen, I hate to, like, you know, try and, yeah, I'm going to toot my own horn here. I was in love with Aaron Donald for like over 2 years before he even came out of college, when nobody knew who the fuck he was. So, you know, and I had him notched as first round talent and everything. I love the man, but he's not in Ndamukong Suh. He's better than Suh in a lot of ways, but he's not in Ndamukong Suh in terms of, I would fear in Ndamukong Suh knocking my quarterback out of the game.
Yes.
Like, he will do that.
fear Greg Williams knocking my quarterback, and we just played him.
Well, right. Exactly.
But bounties. He's a super villain.
Let's get some bounties out there. But yeah, so I would fear, there are some guys out there that I'd fear that are like, hey man, this guy might actually, you know, injure our quarterback. I don't think that Aaron Donald's going to injure our quarterback. I think he's going to sack our quarterback. I think Tua is going to take an Aaron Donald sack at one point. But I don't think it's going to be like, you know, pummel him to the ground and then stab him while he's down there. You know, yes. Like I think there are some guys in the league I'd accuse of maybe being like that, and Ndamukong Suh being one of them. But, you know, I don't fear Aaron Donald that way.
Yeah, and I was saying on Twitter, I can make a case for every single team in the NFL how it would be scary to play a rookie quarterback against them. But I would remind everybody, watch the games. Aaron Donald just finished playing against the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
And I would dare say he had his worst game as a pro. They beat the hell out of him.
Yeah, it wasn't good. I was watching that game too.
And you know what they decided to do, which is kind of interesting, because you never think about doing that to somebody with such a low center of gravity, but they just cut him all game. Yeah. And I guess he doesn't like that. You know what I mean?
And Miami's offensive line has actually been proficient at cutting.
Yeah.
It's an improvement. Trust me. It's like, compared to what we've seen in previous iterations of this offensive line, or even iterations of this offensive line that just never cut, you know, this line will cut, and they're actually pretty good at it. There was a block Ted Karras had on that screen that went, like, you know, there was a screenplay that went, got us very close to the end zone. Mm-hmm. And Eric Flowers got out to block, and he probably got the headline, you know, block, but there was a cut block that Ted Karras had to, you know, book his ass to get there. And he was the entire reason that screen happened. I gave him lots of credit for that, but this offensive line cuts.
Absolutely. And speaking of the offensive line, you know, let's play a little junior OC here. What are you trying to do? Or are you just opening up the playbook and saying, let her rip, Mr. Tagovailoa? Or are you doing something a little bit different and easing him in with a softer playbook?
There can be both. There can be both. And I think, and I say that because I think that one of the reasons, I think there's some gamesmanship going on as far as, like, doing this now. You know, whatever advanced scouting the Rams did before they're going to play this game with the Dolphins, I mean, they have to throw it out.
Yes.
They have to throw it out. Like, they're not just facing a new quarterback. Now, they're facing a rookie quarterback who doesn't even have preseason tape, right? Mm-hmm. He has 5 snaps last week that you can try and look at. And yeah, you can look at the college stuff, but that's a college offense. This is pro offense. It's completely different. And you can look at the Dolphins offense, but it's like, okay, now it's this completely new quarterback and he's left-handed. You know,
so now
throw it out.
Left-handed. Yes.
Throw it out. It's gone. We gotta start over. So they're going to start over, and they got 2 weeks to do it, and that's great. But, you know, so there's gamesmanship here. We're surprising them with the Tua Tagovailoa, and it doesn't need to be one of those surprises. It's like, you know, oh, why did they say it now? Why didn't they wait till last minute? Well, no, it doesn't have to be that, because there's no tape. You know, if you spring it on them last minute, if there's tape out there and you don't want them to find it. There's no tape. So they're just going to have to be spinning their wheels to come up with the defensive game plan. And I think that gives Chan Gailey a chance to be really creative, and creative in a way that also kind of protects Tua Tagovailoa. And so that's kind of what I expect from them. I expect them to be really creative with the run game and the screen game and, you know, and the pocket movement and stuff like that. And I think there's going to be a lot of east-west action and a lot of, like, you know, counteraction to try and, to open things up that way. I'd be surprised if it's just, like, you know, Tua in the shotgun slinging it over and over again.
Yeah. And I would say this, after watching him in practice, his progressions are real progressions. He looks for shots. He looks for the big play on every play. So if he has a deeper option, he's trying to figure out a way to get it there. And the 2 plays that I did for yard work on his second play, that was high level progression. He had to look over 4 guys. He had to play against the zone. He had to have a clock in his head. He got rid of the ball in less than 2.5 seconds and got a first down for it. So
yeah, the third down conversion.
Yeah, to Jakeem Grant. So,
yep.
Yeah, so I think he's ready.
I had him right at 2.5 seconds, by the way.
Oh, you did, right?
I timed it.
Yeah, I knew that as soon as Gesicki, because I broke down that play on yard work, and you could see it. Like, you could see what he's looking at. He's looking at the curl at the top of the screen, and it wasn't coming. No, it's actually a go route at the top of the
screen. Yeah, he went left to right, right? He went one. Actually, I think he didn't go 1-2-3. I think he actually went 1-2-3-4 on that. And because he did start left at that go route, but and then he was going to Gesicki, like you said.
Yeah, but he didn't clear Gesicki didn't clear the linebacker, mm-hmm. so he didn't see the white on you know, he didn't see the white in the flat, really. So then you see that he whips around and he sees Isaiah Ford is in no man's land with 2 guys. And he just throws to a spot. You see, he throws to a spot, and Jakeem Grant finds the football.
He threw to the backside. I mean, through the backside of the rotation of the layers, basically. Yeah.
So you know, it's going to be fun. I'm telling.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good play. And if I was nitpicking, I think he was like half a beat late. but you know, I think he could have, I think he could have maybe anticipated that backside opening up, mm-hmm. And maybe gotten it there. Just a, that's really nitpicking, but he got it there, and it was a first down, and it was, you know, by the way, I do think, I've been saying this whole time, and maybe I'm wrong. I don't own the truth. But I think that there's a good chance that Jakeem Grant's fortunes are up with Tua, yes, starting at quarterback.
I think so.
And that's just because I think Tua is very accurate. You know, he's not intimidated by small strike zone. And I also think he's got such good vision that he'll see him out there. And I don't, you know, maybe that's not always. Listen, he's tiny, right? Jakeem is like 5'6".
Yes.
It's hard to hit him.
Yeah, you know he's small when Tua goes to hug him, and you're like, whoa, he's really small.
Yeah, like Tua's like towering over.
Yeah, because Tua's a legit 6 feet tall.
Yeah,
about 210 pounds. He's not a small man.
And actually, I thought he looked kind of small out there. You know, yeah. I was like, man, it kind of drove home the point. Like, hey, in other times, this would have been controversial on its own, that we were getting a quarterback this small.
Yes.
But that's just not where we are nowadays, I guess. But yeah, so I think Jakeem Grant could do well. He gets into it. He gets into the spot between the zones quickly. He gets into everything quickly because he's fast.
Yeah.
So
he's a great route runner. And I don't think he ever gets credit for that. But he's
wonder, you know what, because there's something standing in his way. Maybe you know. I don't know. There's got to be something standing in his way as far as his offensive involvement. Do you think it's possible that he's not very good at at reading the leverage, tagging his routes, doing optioning the way? You
know, that's entirely possible. And I think he's a negative in the run game. So he's limited for the snaps that they play. Because if you notice his team, did you see who is one of our wide receivers now in the red zone? Matt Collins is making many.
Yeah, I was going to point that out. Like I was actually going to, because I think it's really cool and impressive that they like find these roles for everybody.
Yeah,
because it's clear that Matt Collins has a role in this offense, and it's like the pseudo wide receiver tight end hybrid in the red zone specifically.
Yes. And you see, there was one
catch a touchdown or two.
Yeah, there was one play where they lined up with Mac. They lined up in 11 personnel, and they used Gesicki, Mac Collins, Preston Williams, and Devontae Parker.
Yep.
And I was thinking to myself, that is a lot of height out there. Of course, nothing happened on the play.
Okay. Right, but they're using it to their advantage, and you can see it when they're able to get the ball to other people. Like when you're able to score the touchdowns with Durham Smythe. Or, you know, or what's his name?
Adam Shaheen,
which I'm kind of stoked that we have Adam Shaheen, because I really liked him coming out of college.
Trade's worked out. What do we trade for him?
He's not the blocker. He's not the blocker that people think, in my opinion, mm-hmm. or that people want to make him into. And in fact, that was where he was going to have to develop a lot, because he came from the FCS. I mean, God, what was the school? I forget even, you know, which, Ashland.
Yeah, some weird
school. So I mean, he came from the FCS. He didn't come in knowing how to block, but you know, he is good in the passing game. Like, I think he's good in the passing game. He's very athletic. He's big. You know, he's got great wingspan. And you stack him up, and I think that if Gesicki ever goes down, like, that's your guy that's replacing Gesicki. I'm not saying he is Gesicki, but like, you know, that's your guy that will replace his roles. Absolutely. And that's where I'm actually kind of like, you know, on the tight end blocking side, because Durham Smith's a good blocker. I'm like, at some point, I hope we bring up Chris Myrick, because I know he's a really good blocker. And I think that we can, you know, see him in there, you know, helping out with that a little bit, and you know, and maybe it looks good. I don't know.
Although Durham Smith or Smythe or whatever his name is, because now there's evidently two pronunciations, but Durham Smythe,
he says it's Smythe, and yeah. So I'm gonna observe that.
Okay, Durham Smythe is, I would say, and I rated him number one in the do your job rankings on the Dolphins. And everybody was saying, well, how the hell can you do that? You know, why don't you put X up there? I'm like, well, X makes $75 million, okay? He's a star. He's expected to do his job. I'm talking about the grunts, the real grunts. Is there anybody on the team doing their job better than Durham Smythe? I don't think there is.
Yeah, like playing his role.
Yes. I don't think he's missed a block this season.
Yeah. I mean, you could maybe you could argue some of those offensive linemen. I don't know. But I think you got a valid point
there. Eric Rowe has a strong case.
No, you're right. That's right. That's the one. Because he does have a discreet job, like most of the time. And it's shut down the tight end. Like, because we play a lot of man.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds himself on the tight end. It's like, just go shut down your tight end. And he's done his job pretty well in that regard. Landon Roberts has a job that's like, you know, you're the run plugger and stop it. And he's just not done it a lot of the times.
Yeah. Although he's had some moments as of late.
He's had moments. He had a good game this year or this game. Yes.
And by the way, Sam Agüevan, very nice to come off the bench.
Yeah. I was excited for him. That was cool.
Yeah,
And
Kamagrujer Hill. I said it in the last podcast, and I'll tell you, you're aware what he did in this game, right?
Yeah, broke a bone and came back in.
Yeah, a bone came out of his hand.
Came out of his finger.
Or his and hand, he said, "Stitch it up. I got to finish this game."
Yeah.
So yeah, crazy. That's a tough guy. He's been that's good tough, for us. Man.
Yeah,
he's been good for us all year.
He kind of comes off a little bit bigger than his listing out there.
Yeah,
I think it's because he's lengthy, but But yeah, he's shown to me like he's good. He's a good blitzer. He's got really good closing speed that way. And obviously, you know, he's kind of a nickel-ish pass cover linebacker.
Yeah. And it's really fun to watch the all 22 with these guys, because after watching the Patriots for 4,000 years do all these little tricky and underhanded things on the defensive line to get guys free to rush in on your quarterback.
Right.
It's fun to watch the Dolphins do every single bit of it over and over and over again. Sam Agüevan had a play on 3rd and 6. Okay. I drew it up on yard work where all he did was run in a straight line right at the center and knock the center completely off of Christian Wilkins. And then Christian Wilkins just ran right in on Flacco, and the center was like, what the hell happened there? Why did I get hit by this guy? And sure enough, you know, so, you know, it's fun to watch. The team is in a good place, and now they have the future going forward. So let's get into this little Twitter beef
that I was hoping not
today.
I was hoping to get rid of it and getting to throw it out.
But yeah, I asked very simply this, okay? Why not? Some of these national types have to defer eventually. And I said it this afternoon. I went on a Buffalo Bills podcast. And I said, how would you guys feel if I came on your podcast and started telling you that everything you talk about the Buffalo Bills is wrong, and then I'm an expert on your team, although it's a known fact I'm not watching your team like you are.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So, like, am I going to pronounce myself an expert on the Dallas Stars? Yep. No, I don't know anything about the Dallas Stars. Okay. I think I've watched them play hockey maybe once all year. So I don't know anything about them. But these national media types, you know, first of all, they're the ones who jumped off the top rope. All I said was, you guys have to stop saying that they have the worst offensive line in football. Mm-hmm. And then now use it today to say that Brian Flores made a terrible decision because they have the worst offensive line in football. So all I asked was a very simple question. You know, either both of you are wrong, Mina Kimes and Dan Orlovsky, or Brian Flores is an idiot. Pick one or the other, because it has to be one or the other. Because you're basically saying that it's a terrible decision because they're going to get Tua killed, you know? And then, of course, here comes the parade of stats. And you know, I feel partially responsible because I like quoting stats myself, but
yeah, not against it.
You know, not against it, but in football, man, I don't know how much value some of these analytics have. I really don't. I know in basketball they have great value. In baseball, it's almost the entire sport, to be honest with you.
Definitely.
But in football, man, I just look, and I asked a simple question. I never got an answer because I never get an answer when I ask these questions, because I always believe in asking questions that I know the answer to. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But I asked the question, explain well,
that's,
to me.
That's what I accused Jeff Schwartz of, though. I mean, that's, you know.
Yes, but,
trying to,
you know.
Trying to play games. But, yeah, you know.
But I'll play my games.
Go on.
Okay, I'll play my games too. And I asked a very simple question of PFF, and they never answered. Okay. But there was a time this season where Austin mm-hmm. Jackson had played 3 games. He had no penalties. He had not allowed a sack. He had allowed 1 hurry. He was rated the worst left tackle in football. I asked, how is that possible? That was just a question. Nobody ever answered. So, you know, I don't know how that's possible. I just don't know how that's possible, especially after I watched the All 22 and I watched teams mm-hmm. throw the kitchen sink at this kid. And he held up for those 3 games. So, you know, and we're back to this thing again where, yeah, keep quoting stats. But, you know, I just don't, you know, I don't understand what they're trying to get to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they, you know, the worst offensive line in football, really? Like, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is so good at hiding their faults just because he throws quicker than everybody else. Like, wow. And of course, it was, you know, Dan Orlovsky and Mina Kimes, and it was on one side, and me, Joe Shad, and Kyle Krabs on the other. You know, which made for the saddest street fight in the history of Twitter. But there we were. So say your piece, because, you know, you got a microphone in front of you now.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to go into it too much. Listen, we've all watched the Dolphins for years, and this is all most of the fans are trying to say, because I don't have a problem with experts weighing in. I really don't, and I respect expertise immensely, actually. And I think it's important that we do so.
And let's be clear, and you know, we've had our issues with all of them. I think Mina Kimes does a nice job. She's entertaining. She knows yep. the game. Yep. And Dan Orlovsky, I think he understands quarterback play really, really well. He knows what he's talking about. But I'm just calling
them out. He's at his moments.
I'm calling them out on the ridiculous take, and that's it.
No, so anyway, I respect expertise. I always have, I always will, and I think it's important that we do so. I also think that we have to respect work, and if you've not, you know, an expert is only as good as the work he's done on what he's talking about, or he or she is talking about. And so, you know, just because I'm an expert on, you know, toss out anything that I think I'm an expert on. You know, if I'm an expert on this and then or on this, I'm an expert on, you know, risk management or something like that. And I take a look at just like one chart and then throw out an opinion on something. Like just based on practically nothing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to take that with the weight of expertise. If I haven't studied it like an expert, is an expert because they've studied things, you know, for a tremendous amount of time. Mm-hmm. And so that's what gives them the expertise. You know, if I start commenting, you know, just BSing out of my ass about a team I haven't even watched play, then you take that with the grain of salt that it's worth. And I think that sometimes, and this is not their fault, they have to comment on 30, they have to come to work and
understand that talk, how that works.
Talk like an expert about 32 goddamn teams. And unless you've been in that position to know how difficult that is, how impossible that is, then, you know, you don't have that context. And it's just a fact, you know, so you get these moments where it's like Colin Cowherd is like, yeah, but Miami Heat can't shoot,
mm-hmm.
you know, or you get these
moments, 180 degrees wrong.
Right. So, or you get the moment where it's like, yeah, but the Dolphins offensive line is abysmal, is awful. They're going to get to a kill. They're the worst offensive line in the league, you know, which is basically where Dan Orlovsky and Mina Kimes were coming from. And that wasn't accurate. Simple fact, do you think they knew at the time that they were saying that, do you think that they knew that the Dolphins offensive linemen had given up the fewest sacks collectively of any offensive line, you know, on a per snap basis of any team in the NFL. Do you think they knew that? And if they did know that, would they have softened their criticism a little bit?
Probably.
I think they would have.
And you know, and not
I think to, if they knew that, they would have.
And not to be a complete smartass, but remember that this was like World War III of like two other previous wars. And one of the previous wars I had with Dan Orlovsky, you know, went about 10 or 15 tweets where he apologized because he went on TV and said that the Dolphins were crazy starting two rookies at tackle. Let that sink in. And all I responded to him was, at the time, they're only starting one rookie at tackle, Austin Jackson. Jesse Davis is playing right tackle. And he was like, well, yeah, but, you know, yeah, because Solomon Kinley kicked into right guard. I'm like, no, Solomon Kinley is a guard.
Nope. He was never a tackle. Sorry.
He was never a tackle.
Try
and
again.
Then he apologized and he goes, yeah, I was, you know, I just got it mixed up, this and that. But, yeah, they're improving. He got caught with his pants down. Just don't go out there with
it happens. You have to cover 32 teams. It's hard.
Of course, that's going to happen. But yeah, all I ask is defer just a little bit. Look, I'm not an expert on 100 things. I'm an expert on 8 or 9 things. Okay. Like you can ask me about 8 or 9 things and I consider myself an expert on it. On this team. Yeah. I'm an expert on the Miami Dolphins. Okay. Go ahead. All right. I watch them every Sunday. Then I rewatch their games. I'm pretty sure that right there, that cuts out about 98% of the population.
That's sure.
Okay. And then
always respect the work. Always respect the work.
And then I rewatch it a third time so I could cut it up for yard work.
Yep.
All right. And then I try to save some time to watch other teams. Okay. And it's really, look, I will tell you right now, the other teams that I watch are the teams that are of note. Okay. If you ask me right now to tell you about the Cleveland Browns, I don't know anything. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. If you ask me about the Detroit Lions, okay, Matthew Stafford and them boys, all right, I'll do some Stephen A. Smith stuff. Galladay is good. DeAndre Swift, he's great, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I know that DeAndre Swift played really, really good this past weekend, okay? That's it. And that's then, all I know.
And shitty the other weekends.
Exactly. He also dropped the game winner in week one. But, yeah, you know, like I don't know that much, but I'll try to watch, like, the teams of note, you know, teams that are relevant right now. Okay, it's okay to defer. All right, that's all I'm saying to the national media. It's not okay to just come on here and start dismissing people like if they're complete idiots. Uh-huh. You know, and there was a few others. I'm not gonna name them by name, but they're known media folks who I believe crossed the line, mm-hmm. and not necessarily with us, by the way, but with other media figures down here.
Right.
But let them fight their own battles. Okay. I'll fight three YPCs. Okay. All right. Which I think I did a splendid job of today.
And what kills me is, like, you know, there's not, you know, hey, we can have disagreement. Like, you know, that's cool.
Yeah, but we're not clowns just because we ask you, like, you know, you're wrong here. Okay. This is not, you know, like I didn't clown anybody or anything. All I said is, like, you guys got to stop saying this. Because now you're repeating it over and over and over again. You've had time to look this up already.
Yeah. You
know? But, oh, well, you know.
It's something, I'll tell you.
The Dolphins are going to have to win more games for these guys to start watching them.
Well, you know, it's going to look really bad when the offensive line just, like, completely collapses and Tua gets injured because of it.
Yeah, of course. You know, which is what always happens, right?
I mean, I don't really think that's going to happen, but I think we are – you know, with how long is Jesse Davis at left tackle actually going to work out for us? Seriously. I mean, we don't think that's going to work out very long, do we?
Yeah, Austin Jackson, hurry back. All right.
Hurry back, dude. Hurry back. But in all seriousness, you know, Robert Hunt, I mean, he's a rookie playing right tackle. He's on to his blind side. And who knows? He could have some rookie moments. I mean, I said this in this Jets game. I was like, you know what? Solomon Kinley just let up his first sack in his sixth game. And it was only the second sack that has been attributed to an offensive lineman by PFF for the year. And it was, you know, it's like, wow, that's really something. It really is something. We've lived through so many awful offensive lines in Miami. Yes. We are not unjustified for taking a look at this offensive line and then not letting other people just shit on them. I think we're fine, honestly.
Yes, I completely agree, you know. but that was just fun. It was fun today.
It was all right.
All right, that's it. That's it for the special edition of 3 Yards Per Carry, Tua Tagovailoa starting edition. By the way, you know that he's starting on November 1st at 1 o'clock. So he's starting at 11-1 at 1 o'clock, and he wears number 1.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was cool. It's gonna be fun,
I'm just gonna go ahead and get out there with this. He's throwing for 365 and 4 touchdowns.
Oh, go for it. Just go for it, man. I think he's gonna be running for his life in the whole.
Really? Okay. No, well, we have a you know, there's no more shows this week, okay? I know yeah. I said last night there's no show this week. We talk to you next week, but you know, we didn't know that this was gonna happen today.
But Aaron Donald's for real, though.
Yeah, he's really good. Like, Aaron Donald,
he's not going to injure Tua, but he is like going to, like, yeah.
If he hits him, he's going to try to hit him hard, right?
He'll get some.
Yes, absolutely. You know, but it'll be fun. He'll be at home. He should have a raucous 13,000 there to cheer him on. But yeah, it'll be fun, and we will talk about it in depth next week. Trust me when I tell you. Okay, we will talk about it in depth. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.